in the precious name of Jesus, who gives us comfort and rest, not like we can gain ourselves, but as only comes from him. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Our text for this evening is that reading from Mark chapter 2 you see listed in your bulletin. If you'd like to turn to it, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 2, and then we'll be sharing that in just a moment. If you're a visitor with us tonight and do not have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles so that you can read and study God's precious word. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. The sermon title for tonight is Doing Whatever It Takes to Bring Your Friends to Jesus. As you think back, as you look at all of Scripture and actually all of history, you can see that there are some people, unique individuals throughout time, who've been willing to do whatever it takes to bring their friends to Jesus. Imagine, remember, if you will, the words of Scripture, the New Testament, especially the apostles. Those 12 men were willing to do whatever it took to bring their friends to Jesus. Throughout the period of time that they followed Jesus, they listened, they learned, they were forgiven, they grew in their faith, and then when Jesus left them, he left them in charge of making disciples. Make disciples, he said, of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them whatever I've told you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. So the apostles did just that. They worked and they traveled, and what history tells us, at least, is that most of them were martyred, gave up their lives for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of those that they loved to whom they were bringing the message of the gospel. When you think about the history of the church, the Christian church, and the history of our church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, countless people throughout the ages have been willing as missionaries around the world and in the United States to do whatever it takes to bring their friends to Jesus. One such story is told about a woman who was a very wealthy woman. As a younger woman, very wealthy, she decided, as a believer in Christ, to use the gifts that she'd been given by God to spread the gospel all over the world. So philanthropically, she gave her money to churches and chapels and new starts and clinics all over the world so the message of Jesus could be proclaimed. As she drew closer to the end of her life, she decided that she would begin to make a worldwide tour of the places her monies had endowed, just to see that the message was going out. She visited chapels and churches and new beginnings all over the world. And finally, she came to a remote, very remote village in a faraway third world country. There, her monies had endowed a little clinic. And as she went into the clinic, she went from room to room to see what was taking place. And in one room, she saw a very young nurse taking care of a leprous man. What she did was tenderly to take away the bandages. There was a horrible smell, the smell of rotting flesh. That's what leprosy is. And as this woman saw what was taking place, she put her hand to her mouth, and without recognizing it, she said quietly, she thought to herself, "Oh, I could never do that for $1 million. The nurse heard her and looked up, and without missing a beat, continuing to lovingly care for this old man, she said, "You know, I could never do it for $1 million either." You see, it was her love for Jesus and her love for this old man and those she was serving. That's why she could do what she was doing. From our text tonight, listen to four men who did whatever it took to bring their friends to Jesus. A few days later, that is, after Jesus in Mark 1 had healed the paralytic and a demon-possessed man and Simon's mother. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," Jesus said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." The apostles, missionaries throughout the ages, and these four friends of the paralytic were willing to do whatever it took to bring their friends to Jesus. I don't know, but somehow these four came to know that Jesus was back in Capernaum. They knew Jesus and they knew of him, and they knew that their friend had a great need. Nothing that they had tried, nothing that had been done before, was able to help their friend. They believed that Jesus could help their friend. And so they were willing to do whatever it took. One of the four came up with this crazy idea of getting a mat and going to his home and loading him onto the mat and then going through the narrow streets, the rough streets of Capernaum, finally to the house where Jesus was preaching and teaching. As they came to the house, what the Bible tells us is that there were so many people there, they couldn't get their friend and the mat anywhere close to Jesus. Now, if it had been me, and maybe if it had been you, we might say, "Well, you know, we tried really hard, Matt, to be able to get you to Jesus, but I guess it's not going to work. We're just going to take you back home and we'll say we really tried hard." But not these four. They were willing to do whatever it took to bring their friends to Jesus. So one of them came up with the idea of getting up on the top of the roof of the house and then beginning to dig away a place that was some 6 feet by several feet wide in the roof. Can you imagine if you were the homeowner sitting at the feet of Jesus and talking with Jesus, listening to Jesus, and all of a sudden this stuff begins to fall on your head and you look up and there's a skylight now 6 feet long and 2 feet wide where there had never been one before. And then they lowered the mat and the man right in front of Jesus. Jesus looked at the four, and I think the man on the mat too, and he could see their faith. He said to them, "Your faith has made you well." These four men, these four friends, did what they could to bring their friends to Jesus because they knew that Jesus loved them and Jesus had what they needed most. Friends, you can be seated. When Jesus commented on their faith and the forgiveness of sins, the teachers of the law who were sitting there listening, they began to grumble in their own minds. Did you see what the Bible said? They didn't say anything, but they thought in their minds, and they thought to themselves, "Who is this man that thinks he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins." Were they right or were they wrong? Well, they were right. Only God could forgive sins, but they were wrong in not realizing that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus, God is Emmanuel, God among us. Jesus, knowing in himself what they were thinking in themselves, then turned to them and said, which is easier to say? In other words, which is easier to accomplish? To say to someone their sins are forgiven, or do you think it's easier to actually heal that person so that he gets up and leaves? But so that you may know, Jesus said, so you may know that the Son of Man, I, have the ability to forgive sins, I'll show you what you can see. And so he said to the young man, get up, take your mat, and go home. And that's exactly what took place. He did take up his mat. He did go out. And you remember the last words of our text? They said, we have never seen anything like this. The power of this man. The power of the God-man, Jesus. So why is it that people are willing to do whatever it takes to bring their friends to Jesus? Why was it true of this little nurse in the remote clinic? Why was it true of the disciples in their whole earthly ministry? Why is it true of missionaries around the world and in the United States today? The reason is the love of Jesus. They love Jesus. And secondly, the reason is that they love their friends. Well, who's my friend? When Jesus was asked that question before, remember what he said? He told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what Jesus meant was, whoever is in need is your friend. For the love of Jesus, for the love of those in need, and because of confident faith that Jesus has what they need, people are willing to do whatever it takes to bring their friends to Jesus. Jesus, the missionary Savior God. The God who came from heaven among us to live as one of us, to die for the forgiveness of sins. You see, that paralytic man was loved by his friends. They believed that Jesus had what their friend needed, and Jesus did because he healed the man. But what was the greatest need? The greatest need of that paralyzed man, Jesus identified, was the forgiveness of sins. That's the first thing he did, is to forgive his sins and then to heal him. Jesus knows our greatest need. There may be needs that are financial or psychological or relational. We have lots of needs, but Jesus knows our greatest need, and that's for the forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus gave himself everything he was and had to die on the cross for you and for me, to meet our needs and to care for our greatest need, the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus gave everything for you and for me. True story is told about a little girl who had a very serious disease. Apparently, she needed a blood transfusion to be saved. But the thing was that her blood was a unique blood type, and they searched all over the place to find a suitable donor until they finally realized this little girl's younger brother had the same blood type, that his blood could save his sister's life. So the doctor said to the little boy one day, "Will you give your blood for your sister?" And he thought for a moment, a long moment, and finally said, yes, I will. So the time for the transfusion came, and he was laid out and his sister next to him, and the blood began to be transferred from him to her. And after a moment, the little boy looked up at the doctor and said, "Doctor, when will it happen?" And the doctor said, "What do you mean? When will what happen?" And the little boy said, "When will I die?" You see, the little boy had thought
The doctor meant giving all his blood, his very life. That's why he'd thought hard about it. But you know, he was willing to do it for the love of his sister. Jesus gave his very life. Jesus gave all his blood, not to the point of, but giving himself for you completely and fully. So, what are you willing to do to bring your friends to Jesus? Now, some of you will say, well, Pastor, I've been a member of the church for a very long time. And you see, Pastor, most of my friends, they're all Christians. So I really don't have any friends who are not Christians. And you know what I say to that? Get more friends. I say to that, you know, there are probably lots of people around you that you just don't see. They've become invisible. What about the paper boy? What about the clerk at the counter when you buy something? How about the waiter or the waitress that serves you? What about your next door neighbors, all of your next door neighbors? You see, there are people around you, brothers and sisters, every day, in your workplaces, in schools, wherever you are, who don't know Jesus. And my question is, what are you willing to do to bring your friends to Jesus? Now, some will say, but I've never done it before. I don't know what to say. And what you need to do is to simply tell them what Jesus has done for you and explain that Jesus does the same for them. He died for you. Jesus came to meet your greatest needs, not just the needs you know, but the greatest need of your forgiveness, and he cares for all the rest. I would encourage you to pray. Pray tonight, pray in the coming days. Lord, who around me doesn't know Jesus, and who can I meet to share with them the love of God in Christ Jesus? God, give me courage and strength to be your person to speak for you so that the message of the gospel will change hearts around me as your Spirit does that work. If we desire for our church to grow, and you know we've talked about it over and over and over again, we want more people to fill this place, not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of the gospel. Because we love Jesus, because we love our friends, because we know that Jesus has what our friends need, it's up to you. It's up to you to look for opportunities to share the message of the gospel. And it's up to God to use the word that's spoken, the word that's read, the word that's shared to change those hearts and lives to meet the greatest of all needs. May God give you insight and courage and strength to do what he calls you to do whatever it takes to bring your friends to Jesus. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who did whatever it took to save you and me. For Jesus' sake, amen.